That makes sense. But I mean, I think they also have to take into account that some of their teammates are like, yeah, I wish you were going too.
Guys, this is very rude to talk about me in this way at the beginning of the
Oh.
show. It's extraordinarily rude on a fake television show where we debate, I mean, nothing I thought, but now we seem to be debating ourselves. Alabaster, you are gone. You're all
Now he's back.
That's right.
Wee-wee.
I'm returning, and my body is 80% pastry and red wine, and I am delighted and refreshed.
So less than usual.
That's right. A lot of walking in Europe. Should we talk about the first topic?
Ooh.
I
I
don't
mean,
know. I
that's
guess
the,
again.
I guess, yes, that's
See
it.
that clock, right? It's not going very fast. Let's ease into things.
Yeah.
All right.
Mr.
well let's
Cellophane
do it.
did a great job, by the way.
I
And
know,
for you. Agreed.
He had a rocky
Agreed.
start. First day, not so great. Every other day, outstanding.
Heart of a champion.
Bounce
You know
back.
who might not have the heart of a champion?
Oh, we did
Oh,
miss
he's
these
back.
segues.
That's
We missed
right.
these
He's back.
segues.
He's
Dominique's
back.
beloved Kevin Durant, and we got some traction on a possible mega deal last night. And my question for you all is, should the Celtics give the Nets a Godfather offer for Kevin Durant?
So I don't know why we're hearing about this right now on July
Yes.
25th, when everything else has been so quiet in the NBA offseason. But Shams Charania has reported that the Celtics indeed have offered Jaylen Brown and some picks. And I believe, who else is it? Oh, Derek White
Derek
Jr.
White, yeah.
Yep. Did I just make him a junior? Is he a junior? I think he is a junior. Yes.
Unnecessary. No, he's not a
Unnecessary.
junior.
Okay. Sorry. Apologies to the future Derek White Jr., presumably. But this was the offer. Jaylen Brown, Derek White, and a pick for Kevin Durant. Brooklyn rejected this and asked for Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart and draft picks and another rotation player. And so I guess I always want to start with, like, why do you think we're hearing this? Because what it's been doing in the present tense immediately is wrecking any semblance of a quiet Celtics offseason.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you believe that the counteroffer is something that the Celtics, if reportedly, if that's correct, is something that the Celtics should have turned down? Because I look at that counteroffer and I'm just like, I'm in. Let's get this done.
Yeah, admittedly, I'm there too, Dominique. I'm like, yeah, that feels fair for Kevin Durant.
I feel like you, Pablo, and that maybe it's because we're far from the season and we're far from the playoffs when any of this stuff will really matter. But a lot of the minutia of the deal or the side impacts or questions, ancillary questions have me wondering, why is this out now? Who does this benefit? Why are they doing this? How, if the trade doesn't happen, how will the Celtics react about how would they react going forward with this? Like, it can't feel good. Is this a divergence from what they have been in the past? Because they haven't been this type of thing. And most importantly, do they owe this to the Nets? Given that they fleeced the Nets, they fleeced the Nets with a bunch of old players. Like, I like the idea of having cousin or sister franchises that's like, all right, this time we owe you one. You hooked us up with the Prokhorov trade where we gave you a bunch of stars past their prime and built
Yes.
this now run based on those picks. Now it's your turn to get fleeced back.
I do like that the idea of the ghost of Kevin Garnett is somehow involved here. But it feels like this trade itself, by the
No,
way,
the
for
ghost of
what?
Kevin Garnett showed up and played for the Nets. I'm sorry.
So no. But to that point about, what's dead and what's alive, our bride Windhorst points out that this is not a new trade conversation. This is kind of the ghost of a negotiation that we're now hearing about for the first time. He says, I don't think the Nets are involved in active talks right now. And so to me, Dominique and Izzy, the funniest thing here would be the Nets leaking this. I have no information that they have, but leaking it now just to be like, hey, guess what, Boston? Here's a headline for you. Enjoy.
I mean, it helps
Well,
them. Oh, sorry, go ahead, Izzy.
no, I was just gonna say, poor Jaylen Brown. Especially if this is an old trade, right? Because here you are just going about your way. You just felt like the best player on your team in the NBA Finals, okay? And I don't know if you wake up at 3 in the morning and see this, or if you wake up normally at 7 or 8 in the morning and see this, and you just immediately just start shaking your damn head. And of course, you're going to
As you
tweet out
said.
shaking my damn head. Because why? Why me? And why all of us? And I think part of the problem is, I look at this and I say, okay, I think the Celtics with Jason Tatum and Kevin Durant, which one would be more of a duplication of skills? Tatum and Durant or Durant and Jaylen Brown? Like, if I know this sounds crazy to a lot of people, right? Because I got this question a lot when it was, hey, why won't the Heat give up Jimmy Butler or Bam Adebayo? Hey, if I was a GM and I'm looking just at championship sort of potential, would I give up one of them? Sure. Without everything in a vacuum, I'd absolutely give up one of them for Kevin Durant, which is why I can say right here on this fake television show, I would also give up Jason Tatum for Kevin Durant, one for one. Flat swap it, maybe give me a first round pick if I'm the Celtics. Boom, get that done. Put him in that same spot and everybody else is still the same. You think Kevin Durant's going to sort of disappear into this or, you know, into the nothingness in the NBA Finals? Do you think, you know, Kevin Durant gets to his spots better than Jason Tatum? Yes, absolutely. So if my job as Brad Stevens is to win 2-3 championships over the next 5 years, I'm making that swap. Okay. I'm not turning down. I'm making that swap because everybody wants to talk about, oh, winning championships for the next 10 years. How many franchises really win championships over the course of 10 years? Like maybe the Spurs, maybe the Warriors if they win one more, but nobody really does. So 2 or 3, that's all I'm looking for. I guarantee you that with Kevin Durant in there.
Alabaster has come back from France.
This better be good. Your first interjection better be fire.
I have two questions, Izzy. First one, do you think that swap actually, if you take Tatum off the team and replace him with Durant, does that actually win the Celtics a title? Because I'm not totally sure it does. I'm not totally sure.
If you do it this past year, I do. Yes,
maybe
the way that the way the playoffs continue to go. And I look, you're talking about Kevin Durant at age 34. Like, if you say to somebody, give me Kevin Durant ages 34 through 38, I'm good. Like, I'm good with that. I'm going to get 28 points a game on, like, 47% shooting. It doesn't matter how old he is. And like I said, he is better at getting to his spots and finding his offense, than Jason Tatum is.
Oh, you had a second question. Sorry. Please proceed.
I still do. My second question is, are you good with that? Speaking as a Heat fan who wants to take 23-year-old superstar breakout player Jason Tatum off the Celtics and replace him with a guy who's, you know, going into the twilight of his career, albeit the most skilled 7-footer we've ever seen.
Can we just change the title, though? Can we just change the title to NBA reporter instead of Heat fan? Because I just became Heat fan just like over the last year or so. I'm not really Heat fan. But yes, I'm totally okay with that because I'm not Heat fan. But yeah, look, I don't think Kevin Durant would be okay with it. I think the whole idea of going to another team that knocked you out of the playoffs and another team that lost in the finals and you joining them, probably not great for your legacy and for your narrative. But yeah, I'd be okay with that, of course.
That's the most interesting part of all this to me is I thought that the whole point was Kevin Durant has all this leverage and power and he needs to approve these franchises that he's going to first, which is why, at least in my mind, why New Orleans hasn't been in the mix, because they seem like the best fit given what they have and given their potential to still be a championship contender. But Boston doesn't seem like a place that Kevin Durant.
It's funny. It's a funny dude.
You know, like I just
even
it feels,
the Kyrie end things.
I can't imagine. Yeah, I can't imagine him in a Celtics jersey. It just like it feels wrong. I'm not opposed to it. I do agree with Izzy though. If you drop KD in for Jason Tatum last year, they do win the championship.
I concur.
And I think I think they're a better team this year, this coming season with KD in for Jason Tatum. But the argument for Jason Tatum is he's not done growing and you could have a great player. I think it's an interesting question because like developing like fan loyalty over a long period of time, it's probably better for them to feel like we drafted Jason Tatum. We're growing and building Jason Tatum rather than having a mercenary come in and probably not win the championship next year. There are too many good teams. Like it's not like he's going to the Golden State Warriors back then. Like, they could win a championship. It improves their odds, but not enough to be, like, a guarantee. So I don't know if I make the trade, I guess. I'm talking my way around being a coward because I think the right move is probably going all in, and I preach that all the time about how GMs are scared and they don't want to go
all in.
But right now, I'm getting a little scared. I don't want to give up that long-term lottery ticket.
It seems like you're contemplating buying Miami beachfront property.
Ooh,
where you're
this
is so nice, but also I might fall into the ocean in like 3 years.
Yeah. All right, like 3 years is going to be awesome, though.
But my God, I'm going to get such a great – yeah, I'm going to say you're going to get a great tan. That's not really a concern for you, but anyway.
No, I live with a great tan. Instead, you can stick with Jason Tatum, which is a house like 10 miles off the beach, and you're like, hey, in 10 years, though – this is going to be beachfront property.
So as we laugh at the destruction of the planet, I do want to point out that Jaylen Brown probably feels a way about this that is very justifiable. Yeah. Let's just keep in mind what happened here, right? As NBA reporters and unbiased people, he swept Kevin Durant and the Brooklyn Nets. The Celtics with Jaylen Brown swept that dude out of the postseason, and he was the best player in the finals. And so the notion, if you are the Celtics, right, I do think there is this the realistic question of how close really were we and how close are we now? And if you're Jaylen Brown, the reason you tweet out SMH, as Izzy pointed out, is because I think this would actually piss me off.
Yeah.
Like I would be just.
I threw a D in there unnecessarily. But yeah.
No, it should have been there.
Man, I'm growing and those jokes are not going to be a thing that I focus on. It's not going
to
focus on.
I like that you're working on your game right now. But when we get to the playoffs, Pablo, we get to the playoffs, I'm going to need your go-to moves, man. I don't need you working on no fadeaways when we get to the playoffs. But right now, we're in preseason mode.
That's right.
Throw a D in there is honestly too easy for you. I was surprised you didn't jump all over shaking my damn head as a strip club name. Because
That would be an awesome strip club.
It really will be. Will be. So, Alabaster, I feel like what happens now for the Celtics is that they wonder, like, if we have Jaylen Brown, are we in fact throwing in with RD, I guess? Like, we're leaning on defense.
I've gone too far.
I
was just about to compliment you because I appreciate this new evolution of the inappropriate joke is like, I tell you that I was going to make one and you all imagine in your head, which then makes it even better than a joke. I liked it. And then you couldn't leave well enough alone. You had to go back to the D-well.
I have to start complaining about how I'm going to be.
Name of a strip club.
We'd like you to leave well enough alone now with our producer.
To bring it back to basketball, I do think the Celtics of this
is pretty
interesting because this is the organization that I think got fairly panned for how they treated Isaiah Thomas and trading him away for Kyrie Irving and their sort of care about their players. And these, you know, guys like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown have brought them to the precipice of a championship. They turned around the organization. They're sort of young pillars who are like homegrown guys. With that said, the paradox of all of this is Jaylen Brown is someone who said outwardly, I want to test free agency. I don't want to be told where I'm going to play because of the draft. And he's up in 2 years. Kevin Durant has a longer contract, is a much better player, and I just wonder what you guys think. Is this really the right move, to break up the Jays?
I will say, look, I don't break up the Jays. I think it's fine to be breaking up. I don't necessarily think – you mentioned this, Jaylen Brown wants to test free agency. I don't know how many free agents clamor to go to Boston. Like you think of their, Jason Tatum, et cetera. And it's homegrown guys. It's guys that they drafted. And I think if you are a Boston Celtics fan, all you care about is that 18th banner. And it doesn't matter if you have to borrow Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen, and eventually give away Paul Pierce. Like, it still counts. And so I think they'd be, like I said, if I'm Brad Stevens, I'm thinking, okay, I can get 2 out of 3 championships with a Kevin Durant. I'm making this trade regardless of who I have to trade for because we are that close. I do think, though, that them having to change or feeling like they had to change after being that close and after Grant Williams will tell you they were the better team, I think that part's interesting because it just goes to show you that they don't think that this past season was indicative of what's going to be their next season. It's going to be tougher to win a championship next season, so they also have to improve.
But I think, I mean, there's also a fair question here, right, about, like, are we making too much of this past season? If you're, like, really thinking about holding on to Jaylen Brown, right? Like, I mean, look, if you had told me before this past season that you could get Kevin Durant for Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart and some picks, like, why are we debating this?
I think everything's personal. We try to pretend like it's not, but everything in all of our lives is like has some personal component. And that's the much more interesting part to me, how this is going to impact Jaylen Brown. Because Jaylen Brown, as you guys mentioned, he was the best player on their team at the most important moment. No one would think he's the best player on their team overall. But at the most important moment, he was sloppy with the ball sometimes, but he embodied the spirit of the best player on their team when the best player on their team seemed to not be able to do that. So I could understand how if they didn't make it to the finals, how Jaylen Brown might be reacting to this differently. It's like, all right, well, this is what you got to do. I'm going to fight to make my way. If I stay on this team, if I go somewhere else, I'm going to do something else. But given what happened last year, I can understand being like very angry. The last time we saw this team, Jaylen Brown, it felt like was like trying to hold it together with like pieces of Derek White occasionally, and every now and then a good
about
play.
Al Horford.
Yeah, with the big glob of Al Horford. Right. It just felt like he was trying to patch up this ship, and by doing that, it reminds me, like Alabaster said, of the Isaiah Thomas situation, where it's like while Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum, no, Jaylen Brown wasn't hurt, it did feel like he was like leaving it all out there, and then how do you reward him? Is by it's putting cruel. Him in trade talks. To the point you made earlier, Pablo, sorry, I'm rambling, I know, but
no, keep going.
You made the point earlier.
It's July,
about,
it's ramble season.
I forgot what I was going to say, never mind.
Damn it, it was ramble season, and then us pointing out that it was ramble season prevented Dominique from actually wanting to ramble.
Can I ask then, what is Woj doing to us? Because he's like shocked everybody at 2:30 in the morning, and now he's like, eh, Boston's no closer to anybody else than a potential deal with the Nets. So it's just like,
So what we're doing is, in fact, embodying ramble season. Dominique, so please, come back in. What you got?
Yeah, I was saying the point you made earlier about who does this benefit and why would this be leaked? And it certainly is not something that the Celtics would want out there. Potentially, it's something that the Nets would want out there because it then, like, poisons the Jason Tatum relationship or the Jaylen Brown relationship, what forces them out. And it also, like, puts Miami or any other team that is interested on notice, like, well, we got something, we're working on something out here. So it seems like that's who would potentially put this out there and stir up this nonsense at 3 a.m.
I think it has to be. I mean, look, I guess there are all these moving parts, right? Agents and so forth who are always involved in the web of this stuff. But to me, the person, the body, the entity with the incentive here is the Nets. And part of the incentive here also is informed by the answer to Izzy's question, because Izzy asked, why is Woj just throwing cold water about all of this, pointing out that no one is close, even close at all, to a deal with the Nets? And the larger reason for that is because the NBA, again, it's July, has kind of just gone on vacation. So like everybody else who's working in a front office right now, they have not had an off-season, a true summer, in years because of the pandemic and the shortened season and then all the way this stuff's getting bunched together with the Olympics and so forth. And so finally, everybody's off on like their yacht somewhere. And so like Brian Windhorst told me on ESPN Daily, like he doesn't expect anything to change until like Labor Day.
And so if like, I'm the Nets, Pablo, aren't you leaking every trade offer just to say, hey, Katie, like imagine a life there? Or imagine the next couple of years where you're going to have to put up such a stink to get out of there. Imagine, you know, living and playing in Boston, which I'm sure you've probably spoken to Kyrie about a few times. And let's see what you think about. And just basically just shots to the body until he's just like, all right, fine, I'm coming back to Brooklyn. That's probably one path of success.
That's definitely the psychological headspace you want your superstar to be in. Yeah, right.
Yes. Yes, gaslight him into appreciating that where he is the best possible household for him. Yeah, it's like, yeah, we'll see if Izzy's theory comes true when they start rumoring. Well, I guess, have we gotten to the Jazz rumors yet? Has that thing happened? Like, bottom three places you would want to play if you were Kevin Durant?
Oh, Minnesota. There was a Minnesota rumor out there, right?
Minnesota,
for Kat and Anthony Edwards.
Utah, like, hey. Boston.
The Jazz stuff.
I feel like Kevin Durant and Alex Rodriguez are perfect partners. Like, they would make a perfect marriage.
I don't think so. I've seen KD's, like, attempt at TikTok. It doesn't feel like A-Rod. Mm-hmm. A-Rod feels like he lives his life for public consumption.
No, A-Rod would have.
Was that where KD,
like,
said, how do you start this?
Yeah. TikTok. Exactly.
KD doesn't know how to. There it is.
Yo, how I work this?
This is perfect.
Why does he look so tired?
I don't know. It's
probably the off season. Should be arrested.
Did you see the one with the brush? That was outstanding. Outstanding work by our internet bullies. No one saw this one but me.
I didn't see it. But what happened? Was it?
You know how? Oh, do we have it? No. Oh, you saw it. Okay, so you know how he play it again. Play it again. You know how he looks to the side. Someone puts like a hairbrush up there and it turns like right. And he's looking at the hairbrush.
Yo, how I work this?
It's outstanding. It's well done.
For the podcast audience, we're now doing TikToks for blind people. We're just describing what you might imagine a TikTok to be, and we're doing it for the visually impaired.
For anybody over 40, because like I've got TikTok, but it's a very delicate dance as to how often I go on there. Makes me feel really ashamed of myself that I'm not even Kevin Duranting and finding out how to work this bleep.
I have TikTok, but I also have never made one. And I, like Kevin Durant, do not know how to work that shit, but it's pretty entertaining.
All I can say, Dominique, about my TikTok account is that my explore page should not be admissible in court.
Like, I was going to say,
does that represent me or my interests at all?
I take great pride. We're going to
put our explore page.
I take great pride in my Instagram explorer page and my TikTok explorer page. I guess it's not really explorer page, but like the things they suggest to me. Oh, it's thirst trap free. I swipe through them traps fast. Like, man, make sure the algorithm knows I don't want to see them.
3% thirst trap, 75% wagging dogs.
Yeah. I'm just like chiropractors and thirst traps. So yeah. That's all I am. Right,
I get a lot of rap battles, which is like, I mean, they're nice sometimes, but also it's like.
My new favorite is the Reddit user just going through a lot of clips. And like, my favorite was, dear straight men of Reddit, what's the weirdest thing you've been called gay for? And somebody said, I was called gay because I said I liked when it rained.
You Ryan Gosling ass, notebook ass, straight person. Oh, what are you doing? Liking rain.
Oh, did Ryan Gosling like rain in that movie?
Oh, you know, okay. Movie poster. Come
let's
on.
Let's go on to Draymond.
Like, I know. It was raining. That don't mean he liked it.
I mean, I would like rain if it was associated exactly with my most romantic scene of all time.
Dominic, we'll watch The Notebook this weekend, but let's move on to Draymond.
I would love to watch it. It's a good movie.
Oh, it's great. I like The Notebook. So Draymond said the 2017 Warriors would have beaten the 98 Bulls and the Jazz by 40, but also that we shouldn't compare eras. What do you think the most interesting part of what Draymond Green said was?
Kevin Durant's addition to it, but anyway, go ahead.
No, KD's addition to it, which was incredible, which was just simply like, I don't know what would have happened, but I do know that Steve Kerr would have asked us to put Steve Kerr in pick and rolls like 50 times.
It was great,
which is accurate and perfect. And all of this, by the way, I just like how we've gone from like it used to be just the realm of journalists and radio hosts and gas bags who would debate this, right? It was always my dad could beat up your dad. It was our childhoods debating each other, and now it's just people saying I could beat you up. It's just like, okay, great. We just cut out the middleman. You guys talk all of this shit about each other. And I don't know, Dominic, I'm curious how you feel about this as somebody who played a professional sport. Like,
yes.
How do you see the eras even across all of this?
I'm glad that I don't play anymore. Like, I am a believer in evolution. Like, I agree with Draymond Green. And that team was uniquely, like, put together. It's like a random occurrence to have that many great players to be I'm talking about the Warriors team. So I do think they would have beat them, but the game evolves, the players evolve, science around the game evolves, strategies evolve, players get better and build on the moves that like that they had back then. Like this game is much more European than it was back then, which is a better brand of basketball. And they had Tony Kukoc and that's it. Like Luke Longley, that was their European invasion. They didn't even have the Euro step yet. Like, it's just, I think it's obvious, but I think you can compare.
I'm getting old.
You can compare. Because I want to do the opposite. You do? Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to say the 96 Bulls. But you know, I don't want to have the conversation. But no. Here's where I was going with this. Because I'm sort of going in reverse order. Is I want to talk about the guys who would have been better in this era, even better in this era. And Steve Kerr, maybe. Mark Price is one of them. I think Dennis Rodman is one of them because I think Dennis did not even want to touch his offense, but was a better offensive player than he gave himself even credit for. Like, I want to drop Draymond Green in the 96-98 Bulls in that era and just put him on that team and tell me who the best point forward is on that. He might be third best.
Yeah.
He might be the third best because Draymond, because in the opposite, the guys back then who would be better now, I feel like Draymond's a guy who back then wouldn't be as good. They wouldn't let him be their point forward in that spot. So you're going to have some offense. Are you the best low post offense player? Probably not. They're probably going to go to somebody else. Then what are you going to do? Spot up? So like, I think he's on the perfect team for himself, but I do think in this era, it's probably the perfect era for Draymond. So yeah, like I'm going to go ahead and stick with RJ or Richard Jefferson and say easy now, because those Bulls are probably at this point, with everybody talking about them, underrated.
Scottie Pippen might be a top five player in the league if he was in the league today. Like, I feel like his game is the game that would have translated. That's wrong. I mean, Jordan would have been great, obviously, but I think the leap from what he would have meant to his team, like, he's the type of guy that you build a team around, I think, in a modern era. He's Ben Simmons, if Ben Simmons –
No, he's Kawhi Leonard, possibly. Yeah, Kawhi. I mean, there's an argument for a Paul George, Kawhi Leonard.
I don't know if he shoots as well. More Paul George than Kawhi, I think. I don't know if he...
But let's talk about shooting, though, Dominique, because I think you're right. Like, there is this larger question here about what these guys would have done with a green light to shoot threes. Because the 96 Bulls averaged 16.5 threes a game. They attempted it, rather. Warriors, obviously, 31. Like, the whole... To me, like, Dominique mentioned it before, like, we need a... The problem with all of these discussions is that we never set up the rules of time travel.
Right.
Yeah. We don't. Like, we need to figure out what variables are we holding fixed.
Yeah.
And if you do transport, I don't know, 96 Scottie Pippen into 2022, does he also suddenly gain an awareness of the collapse of planet Earth? Is he suddenly aware of everything that happened in the last decade? Is he now beset?
Is it fair to meet in the middle?
Yeah.
Like, every single argument, just, okay, if it's 40 years, shave 20 off each, we're meeting in 88.
So we're going to use
like that.
We're going to use the rules of the game in the middle in the style of play. Because I think it's not fair to point out how clogged the lane was back then. And I guess it was opening up a little bit. I think the Bulls were kind of.
But it was like still way more clogged.
Right. But they were opening it up back then. So, like, these players would have been these, like, super athletes like Jordan and Pippen. Would have been much better in this modern game. So, I mean, it's hard to do all this, which is why the only way to compare these teams is how they do against their peers, which still also is kind of unfair. And this is why, this is kind of my final point, why I always end up on the side of the newer teams, is like globalization of the game. Like, you guys were the best basketball players in America and maybe five other countries. Now, everybody plays basketball, and like, these guys are much more talented just by sheer like statistics. You're going to have a more talented or a better talent base because we're drawn from billions of people, whereas back then we were not.
And because Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, and the Dream Team in 92 exported the game.
Right.
This is what I mean about, like, what are we holding fixed in terms of variables, right? Like, so many of these guys owe a debt to the fact that the product they play was exported and grown and advanced, alabaster, by the fact that, they're old ass head forefathers. Different strip club.
A few things to interject with. One, I do think the Bulls were sort of unique. No. They're just an incredibly modern, ahead of the times team. They were a team that played with multiple ball handlers, multiple scorers. Like, we're pretending Scottie Pippen couldn't shoot, but the 2 years leading up to that championship before he hurt his back, he's taking five threes a game. Shooting 37% on them.
Damn, look at you, nerd.
So the one thing I really want to focus on.
Can we focus on the fame?
The 4D chess that
Draymond
played.
I figured it out.
This is my favorite part of the whole thing.
You are very upset because you believe yourself to be the 96 Bulls, and cellophane is the New Age Warriors, and now you're coming in and showing your value. I'm sorry to cut you off, but it all hit me. I'm sorry, Mike.
But no, Alabaster's throwing us
an
alley.
Did you just compare me to Michael Jordan?
Yeah.
Wow, let's go.
You are the Michael Jordan of producers for this show.
I like how someone else is now plausibly being made fun of for wearing jeans. But anyway, so Draymond Green said this on Twitter 2 minutes after all of this, right? Quote, learn to appreciate things for what they are, analyze the game, and stop the unnecessary debating. Yours truly, comma, the new media. To which I say, what are we even doing anymore? Is this...
They just pull a Woj on us and just say, hey, here's something to talk about, but don't talk about that.
Yeah. I mean, Alabaster, can you characterize... So I didn't see this until this card. So can you characterize what you believe the intent here to be before I proceed to get angry about how much we just spent talking about a thing that the guy who said didn't even want us to talk about?
This is my favorite part of the whole story. Draymond's 40 chess of being like, I'm the new media, but I'm actually just going to do the most Skip Bayless debate of all time and talk about whether it's Michael Jordan versus the Modern Warriors or Michael Jordan versus LeBron. And then to backtrack when he realized he dipped the toe in the pool and just be, say, yours truly, new media. This is our move, guys. When we have a terrible take, a terrible generic take, we can
this.
Move on quickly and pivot by just saying, yours truly, new media. So thank you, Draymond, for that.
He's brought so much to our lives. So versatile.
Also, before we pivot fully, I was going to reverse and say Karl Malone would also be a person who would not be great in today's era. So I do believe the Warriors would wipe the floor with the Utah Jazz.
Yeah, Karl Malone.
Really yours truly, old media.
Really bad for this era.
I mean, for the lot first, of reasons. I mean, and also, like, John Stockton wouldn't be able to play because, of course, has his feelings about the modern era.
Oh, that is
so many technology. Health and safety protocols.
Yeah. Did you see the New York Times story about how the Salt Lake City is evaporating and polluting the air? It's maybe that.
No, but that makes sense.
Yeah.
I just assumed it. I just assumed it.
It is polluting the air, and maybe it's making people think crazy things like the Utah Jazz could beat anybody.
Wow. I thought you were going to take down an entire religion, but let's go.
I thought there was a multi-level soaking joke there, but we did not.
I could have. I didn't want to. But there's a lot of things about the history of that religion that I'm sure Alabaster is nervous that I may bring up, so I won't.
You can just Google it.
Yeah.
Don't. I trust your judgment, but let's move on to a whodunit. I got a quote for you guys, a little bit more NBA. Ooh. I want to know who said this. There's no more time. There's no more excuses. We've got to get it done now. It's championship now
Karl
or
Malone.
Bust. And your choices are LeBron, James Harden, Karl Anthony Towns, or Pablo's beloved Ben Simmons.
There's no way Ben Simmons said this. There's no way Ben Simmons said this. I would have known he said something. He hasn't said anything for months and months.
He is a great option. Great option. I know the answer to this one, so I'm going to have to sit out.
All right. So look, if it's James Harden, it's part of the new James Harden that he's now revealing, in which he tries to say the things that appease the critics in old media.
We've got to. He doesn't seem like he's at category yet with that team. Like, he just got there. We've got it. Like, this feels like you had to lose somewhere for a long time, which, again,
I agree, Dominique. And also, if LeBron said this, it would have been a one. So we're definitely not talking about LeBron here.
We would have spent all 45 minutes. We'd have built the whole show, the
Steve
entire network.
Would have been called
he would have came in with a sling out of vacation, with a sling and like a derby hat. I just imagine that Stephen A wears hats when he's not at work. He seems like a hat type of guy. He would have gave us the hottest take ever. So it's got to be Cat.
Yeah. Final answer, Karl Anthony Towns.
There's no more time. There's no more excuses. We got to get it done now.
There's just no time.
I'm going to go out there and, you know, it's championship now or bust. So got to go out there and get the job done.
Are you made to feel sad? I don't know. So I think part of, like, maturing and aging is like being able to look back at previous versions of yourself and like being embarrassed by it. And I do that sometimes. And then I feel like Karl Anthony Towns is going to look back at that clip and like be embarrassed that he did this.
Not worse than the one in 16 where it's when KG retired, I know what I must do. I'll take it from here.
But hold on.
We should say that he clarified technically that the championship or bust thing is just for his teammates. It's something you say to your teammates. Also, Pablo, are you using a filter? Your skin looks phenomenal.
Thank you very much. Nice. I am not. Wow. But there is a thunderstorm happening over there. This is a side note in case you hear the rumbling. So I will say this about these quotes and whether I feel
Pretty good at myself.
Stop. Let me have my glow up. Okay.
Look at those creases right there. You don't got no creases like that, Pablo. Outstanding creases.
Nobody says, Mahogany. Look how good my skin is. I have all of these creases.
That's what you don't understand. It's called character. It's character, which you don't understand. Nobody wants a face that ain't been through nothing. My face can tell stories.
They want a face that comes right out of that birth canal. They want it untouched by the rigors of human life.
You don't want no canal face. I got a working man's face. I got a mortgage face. It's a face that has the weight of a mortgage.
Carl Towns also has mortgage face. Is the
no, he doesn't. Play the clip.
Yes, he does.
He got a canal face, just like you.
I mean, he has great skin, but he's weathered. He is a guy who's been, no, Dominique, what he's been doing is really doing like the game of how can I do the karaoke song that I think people want me to sing. And so he says stuff that make him want to sound like, you know, Kobe, right? Like he want to be Kobe is like the virus that
and
is
you recognize there's a high note in there.
And you then you no realize that you got to calibrate exactly the bass versus the treble in the register that you actually have to work with. Yeah. Absolutely.
They can't drop the music out on you. When you hit that high note, they drop the music out. That's what it feels like. Is he thought he was a part of a karaoke, and then they dropped the music out, and he was just out there. Hey! It's just like
it was once a part of a wedding group in Arkansas, and we got on the stage, and three of us thought we could do Vanilla Ice, Ice Ice Baby, and then realized that even if we were sober, we didn't really know how to read those words fast enough. But and then everybody stopped talking. Everybody just started mumbling, and we just got kicked off the stage. But what does it mean, championship or bust? Like, I know when I think of a bust, I think of somebody who failed as, you know, a number one pick or something like that. But championship or bust? Like, Karl-Anthony Towns is not exploding if they don't win a championship this year. So all right, what are we really putting on him here?
You've already basically implicitly said the strip club joke I was going to make. but championship or bust does involve that. But yes, what does it mean? I mean, the idea of like an or bust thing, it does feel like a very old, it feels like something that is in the genre of vocabulary word along with wazoo, right? Like out the wazoo. Like, this is just like, it's an old person aphorism.
I used that phrase twice last week on this show, and I think that's why you brought it up.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Dominique.
Pablo has a great memory. I imagine that phrase like originated with people who wanted to like go to Hollywood and become a star. And it's like you're moving across the country. You're like Hollywood or bus. Like that's what it sounds like to me. It's like a starry-eyed teen
getting on a cross-country bus, handing the driver a ticket, and saying, "Where are you going? Hollywood
or bus?
Bus." You throw your cap into the air and you spin around a lamppost.
Oh gosh! Oh,
Mary Tyler Mooring. This. Yeah. Okay. I get that. I would imagine it goes better with people who have mortgage face, right? Because if you've got a mortgage, you've got to succeed or it's bust.
There's also another even more like literal translation of like, either I win a championship or I am a bust.
Right.
Like sorry.
Yeah,
like,
you didn't want to do I'm a right there would have had a whole different connotation. Well done. I really am fascinated by your brain, Pablo. It's interesting to me. I just want to climb in sometimes and follow the thought path that leads you to these weird and enjoyable discoveries. But
I'm more intrigued by a different organ of his skin. It's amazing.
Thank you, Izzy.
It's not amazing.
It's
boring. Like who wants to look at a desert? It's just plain and boring. Need some topographical
you want to do the thing that they do with sneakers now where they like sell them pre-distressed. You want stolen valor here. This is no stolen valor dermatologic.
That's funny.
Can I give Alabaster quick credit?
Oh sure.
Championship and or bust, perhaps a Rick Pitino joint.
I like it. I feel like I'm going to use that, Pablo. A lot of my wife's tennis shoes have stolen valor. They're all very distressed, but they ain't been through nothing.
But those soles are so clean. Weird.
The soles are so clean, but the sides are so scuffed. It's like, what? You been running for the police? What's happening?
So I think I know how Carl Towns could have fixed that quote and not sounded like such a herb. And all he had to do is, there's no more time. There are no more excuses. You've got to get it done now. It's championship now or bust. But we shouldn't be comparing ourselves to other championship teams. yours truly.
The new media. Absolutely true. In that exact same tone, too. Because when you say there's no more time, it seems like it's a Liam Neeson movie that's coming up next, not a Karl Anthony Towns quote.
He's a man with a set of skills. It's true.
Did it go over well? Because I know that, I don't know, but watching him say that and knowing what I know about him, it feels like a performance. And was the performance received well by anyone? Because it feels like everyone's like, what are you talking about? That ain't you. Like that, y'all don't have a championship roster like that. It just like,
how do you think Rudy Gobert felt about that? There's a lot of pressure on that guy.
Well, Anthony Edwards says it, though. I'm believing. I might put a couple quid down on the Timberwolves.
It is funny when, and you have a teammate, you can just get away with everything.
Everything.
It's just like, oh, wow, that guy's the best quote in the league. He's hilarious. And meanwhile, you're trying to, like, be taken seriously.
Yeah. It feels so like he's like one hard. He's like one step behind. You know, like, it feels like this like, Kobe-esque championship and bust mentality. Maybe it feels like it would have gone over better like 5 years ago, or maybe it's just it doesn't feel genuine coming from someone who we know not to like be Mamba-esque. Which
this is
fine.
Just who he is.
Which is fine.
He's big on hyperbole. So he told me one time, I think his first or second year, I think it was his rookie year, and it just, and this was like not off the record. It's on camera. He said he wants to be the best player to ever live. And I'm just like, okay, like give it a second, like make an all-star team or two, and then we can get to that point. But like, I think he's just, you know, he's fully invested in the hyperbole of sports.
I just remember, Dominique, that Towns, when he did his bass dropping sort of karaoke song. It was with Izzy. It was with Izzy. Izzy was the reporter. That's right.
And yet you remembered Out the Wazoo.
I forgot about that when he tried to trick us all.
Alabaster.
Yeah, so we got one more quote. Let's go rapid fire
Pablo. Sorry, Alabaster.
How dare you?
You don't got the skin for that type of bass. You don't got the skin for that. You're gonna need some divots, some craters. You're gonna need some wrinkles. You're gonna need a little bit of shadow on the cheeks. You're gonna need some of that. I'm just saying, you go ahead and with your regular voice, stay out of this territory. That's my zone.
That's a fair point. Let's move on to this quote quickly. Anytime you change quarterbacks from Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer, it's gonna be a little bit of an adjustment.
We all know this.
And
one.
Your choices are
Tyreek Hill,
Gage,
of course.
Devontae Adams, Tyreek Hill.
Oh, there he is.
I mean, Tyreek Hill. It is very probable, plausible that he would have said something like this on his podcast. It needed to be said, in which nothing that needs to be said is said. But we know the answer to this question, right? I mean, let's hit B, Devontae Adams, hitting that button, final answer.
I mean, anytime you change quarterbacks from, you know, a Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer, you go, you know, Stabler to Rich Gannon or whoever you go to, it's going to be a little bit of an adjustment.
Wait. So Devontae
Adams. Who was that on the mic? Was that Pam?
I think that was Josina.
Josina?
Like,
sorry,
did
Josina.
The Jim Halpert.
Immediately looked at the cameras like, did you guys get that? He just called him a Hall of Famer.
And nod. Yep.
Oh, you got it? All right, good.
So are you guys familiar with like the aftermath of this in which Devontae Adams then tried to clean up his quotes in Alabaster? I don't know if you've also been preparing for that part of the conversation here, if you have any of those quote cards.
Yeah, I did not
but
mean
basically,
to say exactly
there
that.
It is.
I'm going to reiterate. Even if you go from Hall of Famer to even another Hall of Famer, it's going to be an adjustment. Anytime you change quarterbacks is what I was getting at. So take that and run with it. Do whatever you got to do.
So that is where I would feel shitty if I'm Derek.
Yeah.
It's like, the why?
Yes.
Why
the correction is always worse than the crime.
Yes. Why do you need to walk this back?
Yeah, it seemed like we were all, because he's been like singing his praises for a while.
Right.
And this was like the next step in that. You got to stick with it. I don't understand the point in pulling it back. Was he too ashamed of the backlash that he was getting? And like, I mean, Derek Carr, he's a lot of career left. It's like no one would have called Matt Stafford a Hall of Famer a couple years ago. Now some people are, which they're probably wrong, but he's much closer. They win another Super Bowl. He is definitely in consideration. So I think that's the argument you make is like, he's a future Hall of Famer. He's going to get there. With me here, we're going to get there.
Yes. All he needed to say was, I meant future Hall of Famer. Instead, he tried to change the whole thing in which even if you change, when in the first clip we saw that he literally name-checked Kenny Stabler to Rich Gannon, like there was I mean, now you're just making me feel bad if I'm...
As a member of the new media, here's how I would have handled it if I'm Davante Adams. I stare at the reporter who asked me the question and like, what do you mean? Why is that a question? Is Derek Carr not a Hall of Famer? And just put it on the reporter then to be the one who has to decide whether he is or isn't, because he's going to probably be there, or she is probably going to be there every single day having to face these folks. So yeah, go ahead and let him say or her say Derek Carr is not the Hall of Famer there, and then you're good. You walk off the stage and you're good.
They're both future Hall of Famers. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but Aaron Rodgers also not in the Hall of Fame. At some point, he will get in the Hall of Fame.
No.
So that's all you say is yes.
Dominique,
at some point,
Aaron Rodgers is going to be canceled, and he is not going to be allowed into the Hall of Fame, just like he was not allowed to win MVP. We all know that happened.
Oh,
remember when he did not win MVP because everybody canceled him for being too brave?
Remember
similarly,
that
he will not be voted into the Hall of Fame.
That was a multiverse situation, I think. That was a whole different universe that happened in. Not this one. This one, he actually got the MVP in back-to-back seasons.
His Hall of Fame bust is just going to be a cancel culture casket.
I like it. Well, I mean, he did kind of poop down his leg in the playoffs at home. He got out-dueled by Jimmy G. I don't know if it's out-dueled. What is the opposite of a duel? You got like... He tripped? I don't know.
Out-duel, like or bust, like Wazoo, does feel like a thing we should update at this point.
Why don't we duel anymore?
Nobody wears gloves anymore, so you don't have the glove to take off to smack somebody. I wish. If anybody needs to go watch that little Phil Mickelson live video, by the way, it's hilarious.
That is what the old media needs to bring back as new media tries to take our lunch. Slapping people in the face with gloves. A very
Why
old
can't we watch?
Thing.
I haven't seen this
the
video.
Tortilla challenge. Isn't that what's going on all over the world?
Yeah.
Isn't that the same thing?
Really,
I think we're bringing it back. It's slowly coming back.
About some of the marital tortilla challenges? Like, nah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.